To Matthew chapter 24, yet again, Matthew chapter 24. While you're finding your place there, we learned a little bit about grace this week at camp. Can anybody tell me what grace is?
God giving us things we don't deserve.
Okay. God giving us what we don't deserve. I was hoping one of these kids that went to camp would say out loud what they learned. But I guess I'll just keep hoping. Thank you. Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Was anybody a scout growing up? Anybody in scouts? What did you earn when you were in scouts?
Not much.
merit badges. It means that you had to do something to merit it, and then you earned that, and you sewed it on your little sash or whatever, and that was a merit badge to show that you earned it. But grace isn't earned. Grace, we get all these blessings, we get all these benefits, we get all this goodness from God, and we never earned it, never deserved it. And aren't you glad?
Yes.
His grace is greater than all my sin. Let's stand together. We covered all of chapter 24 last time, but I want to use it to kind of launch us into chapter 25 today, this morning. So if you'll look at Matthew chapter 7, we're going to pick up at Matthew 24, verse 42. Matthew 24, 42 is where we're going to begin. Let's pray, and then we'll read the text. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for all who are able to gather. Together with the saints today to worship you. And I pray that you'll be with those who are unable to be here, whatever's keeping them away. Heal the sick, comfort the brokenhearted. Be with those that are traveling and give them grace. And Father, we pray today that your Holy Spirit would be with us, that you would guide us into all truth, that you would teach us, that you would give us knowledge of yourself today, that we might have understanding, and that we might walk in wisdom as you help us to know you, that we can go and make you known. Please bless your word in spite of me. And Lord, I pray you'll do a work in our hearts today that we would respond with faith and obedience. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered or allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily, I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Please be seated. As Jesus comes to the we have a chapter break. This is all part of one sermon, chapter 24 and 25, but he is moving to some pictures and warning. And what he's calling us to do is found in verse 42, watch therefore. Because his coming is going to be sudden, because it's going to be unexpected, because we don't know the day or the hour that he's coming, we need to be watching. Remember, we need to be alert. And we need to watch like the watchman on the wall, who is vigilant, who is paying attention, who is doing his job. And we got to be careful, though, that we are always looking for his coming so that we will be found faithful and ready when he comes. We're not just standing with our mouths open, gazing up into heaven, not doing anything, but we are watching and we are being faithful and vigilant and ready for when he comes. So we got to be doing the work that he's left us to do. So he gives us this parable. He says, watch. Because if you knew when the thief was going to come, you would have stayed up and you would have been ready for him. But you don't know when the thief is coming, so you have to be ready all the time. So watch and be ready. He starts us with this picture. And then he says also that there is an idea of one who is a servant. And we want to be found faithful when the master comes. Verse 45, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so. What's it say? Does that mean that the Lord wants us to just be looking, or does he want us to be doing? Right? Okay, how do I illustrate this? Any of you guys ever had a job where you worked for somebody else? Okay, have any of you, be honest this morning, be really honest, have you ever in your life, when you had a job to be doing, have you ever slacked off? Oh, okay, let's have a show of hands so we can get some honesty here. You've had a job and you've slacked off, okay? Have any of you ever had the misfortune of your boss walking in at that moment when you were slacking off? Yeah, like if my dad was here, he'd be amening so loud right now. The timing is amazing. Like, you couldn't walk in like 5 minutes ago when I was actually doing something. You had to come in right now when I'm not doing anything. Listen, that's the idea of watching and being ready and being busy. You have to be doing what he's called you to do all the time because you don't know when he's going to walk in. You don't know when he's going to show up. And this is the picture that he gives us. Be a faithful servant. Be wise and faithful, because when he comes, you want to be found doing what he's called us to do. And I just want to remind you yet again, what we're supposed to be doing is being disciples who make disciples. We're supposed to be following Jesus. We're supposed to be obeying all the things that Jesus Christ has commanded us. And we tend to always go back to the Great Commission because it kind of sums it all up. But remember, he points back and says, I want you to teach them to observe all that I have commanded. So it goes back to all things, right? We want to be obedient in everything that Jesus has taught us, watching and ready and doing the work faithfully. Be faithful, be wise and faithful. And he gives a warning. There's some people who get the idea, well, he hasn't come back yet, so he's not going to come back, so it doesn't matter what I do. And in this example, this evil servant starts smiting his fellow servants and eating and drinking with the drunkard. This man becomes wicked and violent and a drunkard because he doesn't think his Lord's going to come back. And friend, I just want to tell you, what you do matters. The life that you live outside of the church matters. And you want to be found faithful, because I don't know exactly when the Lord's going to come, but I've always thought, how cool would it be if we're all just standing together in great unity, singing Amazing Grace, and then, wouldn't that be cool? I got an idea, though. I got an idea. What the Lord's going to do is show up at a time other than that. Might be a Monday morning when I'm grumpy and I'm complaining and I'm murmuring and I'm distracted and I'm not praying and I'm not studying and my heart's not right, and then he's going to come. Friends, I don't want to be found like that. So what I have to do is stay ready and watching and faithful all the time, even on Monday mornings. Okay, none of you have a problem with Monday mornings. Cool. Even on Friday nights, even on Saturday nights. Everybody with me right now? Listen, there are times that we kind of slack off. There's times when we get distracted. There's times when we're wrapping our hearts and minds around things of this world and not things that are set above. And we've got to be faithful and watching and ready all the time. Being a Christian is not about attending services on Sunday mornings. Being a Christian means that you're Christ-like all the time. What happens to this servant? I want you guys, there's some important truths we need to learn in looking at parables today. And just before I lose you, let me give you this. Don't make parables allegories. What does that mean? That some people take parables and they take all of the elements of a parable and say, this thing in the parable represents this other thing, and they try to carry it too far. A parable is not designed to do that. It's not designed that you find every little detail and every little element and try to make it something. And people have come up with some really messed up theology based on trying to do that. Okay? For instance, a lot of people says, well, he's a servant. He's a servant, therefore he's saved. Because he's a servant of the master, therefore he must be saved. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 48. He says he's an evil servant. And what's the end of that servant? In verse 51, it says, shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not the description of a saved person. This is somebody who is in the household, but they don't belong there. This is somebody who professes something, but they don't possess it. This is a false convert. And it's what the Lord warns about over and over again in the New Testament. And I need you to understand that just because somebody attends church doesn't mean that they're actually saved. And just because somebody got baptized doesn't mean that they're actually saved. Everybody tracking right now? No, but your salvation is not something that is determined by what everybody else sees. It's what God knows in your heart. So the first thing about being ready is to actually be born again. And we're not born again by what we do. We're born again by faith in what he did. We're not born again by what we do. We're born again by faith in what he did. Chapter 25. Be ready. Be ready like the faithful and wise servant. Next, be ready like the wise virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, I want to give you some details about this parable that maybe we don't get today. This word that says lamp here is what you and I would probably call a torch. And this would be a pole or a stick that would have a wire basket type thing at the top, and it would have cloth stuffed down in it. But you had to have a supply of oil to keep the torch burning. Everybody got that? This illustration is really lost on a lot of people today, because if I say torch in some countries, that's what we call a flashlight, right? And when I start talking about wicks and oil and burning lamps, some of you have never seen an oil lamp burn before in your life. How many of you have seen an oil lamp burn? Okay, good. That's more than I thought would be. When I was growing up, Mom always had oil lamps in the house, and we almost never used them, but it was a glass thing in the bottom. You put the oil in there, and it had a wick that you could turn up. You guys tracking? But what happens to those if you have no oil? Well, the cloth might burn up, but the lamp doesn't work. All it does is make a bunch of smoke, right? So they have to have oil for their torches, and they are waiting. Now, in this time of Jesus, marriage looked a lot different, and the ceremonies and the way that their customs of marriage looked a lot different than us. But you guys remember that Joseph, who was supposed to be the father of Jesus, was betrothed to Mary? You guys remember that? Did you just nod your heads, please? I know this is so hard today. They were betrothed. What that meant in our days, it was more than an engagement. They actually were legally married. The contract was already done between her family and his family. They were married, but they hadn't consummated the marriage. They hadn't come together. And so in those days, they would have a betrothal, which was a contract. It was a covenant that was made. And then usually it was at least 9 months to a year before he would come and take her to their new home. And what happened in that year or so was that he was preparing a place for his bride. You guys getting some pictures here? He was preparing a place for his bride by either making an addition to his father's house or building his own house and growing crops and raising livestock. Like, he was making a way to provide for his family. Young men, If you got aspirations of being married someday, you want a wife, then you need to be responsible and you need to be grown up and you need to work and to earn so that you can provide for and protect your family. That was all for free. You're welcome. And young ladies, if you're looking for a young man to marry, you need to find one that's doing something besides sitting around playing video games and eating Cheetos. This is all for free. I'm just here for you. Listen to me. Listen to me. God's design is so simple, and we make it so hard. A young man ought to work, and he ought to provide, and a young lady ought not settle for a man-child.
That's right.
And you guys ought to pray for that, because I'm going to tell you, in our society today, this is difficult to find. Young men who love Jesus and who work hard and are responsible are rare things. And if the young men being raised up in this church aren't becoming those young men who love Jesus, who work hard and provide, then we are not doing our job as families. It wasn't even in my notes. I don't know what I'm doing. So this young man would go and prepare a place, and he would get things ready for his bride. This was a time of preparation. And we know that our Savior Jesus, the church is his bride, and we know that he has gone to prepare a place. And we know that he's going to come again. And we don't know the day or the hour, so what do we have to do? We have to be ready, and that's the picture. These virgins were what we would call the bridal party, and they were just typically young women who weren't married yet, and they didn't have the responsibilities of family and home, and so they didn't know the exact day or hour, but they would know when it was getting close. And when it got close, they would get together, and they would be prepared, and they would be waiting, because at some time, they didn't know when, the call would come, the bridegroom comes. And he would be announced with great fanfare, and it would be a tremendous celebration, and they didn't know when it would be. But it's interesting to me that this one comes at midnight, probably about the time everybody least expected him. But I'm going to tell you this, he was ready to come get his bride. And when everything was ready, it didn't matter what time of day it was, when everything was ready, he was coming. Isn't that good? I mean, can't any of you guys remember being excited about your wedding day? Can any of you remember your wedding day? You remember how excited you were? I mean, you set the date and the day is coming and all the preparations are made and you just are so looking forward to that day. And so he is excited and he comes. And so the groom comes with all of his bridal party. And the young lady would be there waiting with her bridal party. And here we have those that are supposed to be ready. Their job is to have their lamps or their torches trimmed and ready so that they could burn brightly when he comes. Okay, that's the picture. The cry is made. So we have these who are there waiting. This was a time of preparation and it was a time of purity. It stands out to me that this betrothal period was usually 9 months to a year. There was a time of testing to make sure that everybody was remaining pure during this time. Could you just nod your head a little if you understand? Okay. It was a time of purity. It was a time of testing. And guys, that's where we're at, isn't it, as a church? We're waiting Jesus to come, and he wants us to be pure, and he wants us to be faithful. And there's a time of testing and proving to show that we are being faithful in this time. At midnight, verse 6, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Verse 7 says, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." You guys get that right? You had the cloth or the wick that you would have in your torch or your lamp, and you would trim it to make it burn clean and bright. So they would trim their lamps. But verse 8 says, "The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were," what's it say? "Ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They that were ready went in, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. There's some really sad things in this verse, but let me take just a moment to clear up a couple of things. When you try to make this and try to take out every detail, I think you can kind of get off track a little bit. The fact that these virgins were there doesn't mean that they were saved because they were part of it. What he's teaching us is that they weren't ready to go in. That's the point. How do we know what the point is? He says, they that were ready went in. What's he been saying this whole time in the end of chapter 24? Watch and be ready. And what's he say here in verse 13? Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. The point is to be ready and to be watching. That's what he's teaching us. Now, I've heard a lot of people try to take some details. They'll say, well, the oil has to be the Holy Spirit, because the oil is always the Holy Spirit. But then they get really mixed up because these wise virgins say to them, go buy oil. And that kind of starts to mess up your theology if you think you can buy the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? So my point is, you can't start taking every detail and trying to flesh it all out, because it doesn't work that way. If I want to know what the parable means, I have to listen to what Jesus has said. And what did he say? Watch, therefore. The purpose of this parable is that you would be ready and that you would be watching. Did they have the Holy Spirit? Of course they didn't, because they were foolish and they were locked out. Is that definitely mean that the oil represents the Holy Spirit? No. No. The point is that they were not ready. Here's some really sad things. Number one, they that were ready went in, and the door was shut. You know, there's going to come a moment when everyone's opportunity to trust in Jesus is going to be over. Every human being on this planet has a limited amount of time. And we understand that because we all know that we have an appointment with death. It's appointed unto man once to die. I know that there is a day that I'm going to die. I don't know when that day is going to be, but I know that death is coming for all of us. So my time is limited to the day that I die. But not just that. All of our time is limited to the day the groom comes. When Jesus comes, the door is going to be shut. And those that are on the outside, no matter how much they bang on the door, no matter how much they cry, Lord, Lord, let us in, he'll say, I don't know you. And we know he already told us that there are going to be many in that day that will cry out, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're not ready. Because I notice, like I say that Jesus could come at any time. And a lot of you are like, amen, I believe that. I believe Jesus' return is imminent. He could come at any time. I also know that most of you are wise enough to know that our days are numbered, and tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. We all know that. We don't act like it, but we know that. And I'm just trying to tell you today, if you're not ready this morning, get ready. Be ready. Repent and believe the gospel. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Be wise. Be ready. Be watching, because you don't know the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man is coming. So my question for you this morning is, are you ready? Are you ready? You seem very excited about it. This week at camp, we got to see, like I said, that I know of, 18 young people got ready. And I know the scoffers are out there like, how do you know? Some of them were really young. How can you be sure? I don't know, and I'm not sure. Like, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me when somebody else gets saved. He bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. He doesn't bear witness with my spirit that you're a child of God. I don't. I just know this. The gospel was preached, and some young people responded in faith and obedience to the gospel. They prayed. They asked the Lord to forgive them and to be their Savior. I am going to rejoice. They got ready. Some of them were really young. And I just want you to get that. Of such is the kingdom. It's childlike faith. It's not been messed up by us. They just believe the simplicity of the gospel. And friend, if you're in this room this morning or you're watching online and you are not ready, you can get ready right now. You say, well, you don't understand my sin. You don't understand what I've done. You don't know. Listen, I don't have to. God does, and he loves you anyway. That was our theme verse for this week, and I loved it. Brother Brian did a great job. Thank you for praying for him. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that good? If you're not ready, you can get ready. You say, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to. He knows. He still loves you. He proved his love for you when he died on the cross, because he didn't just die for some, he died for all. I want you to know this morning that really the only person that's living on the earth today who knows for sure that you're saved is you. You get that right? And I want you to know, John says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know. You can be ready today. And if you're ready, then you should be watching. Watch, because you don't know when he's coming. I'm excited, though. I asked it while ago, but were any of you excited for your wedding day? Okay, you guys that didn't amen real loud are dumb. You men had an opportunity, like, to show to everybody how excited you were for your wedding day. Good job, Mike. Somebody else might have said it. He's the one I heard. I was excited for that day. I mean, I think about it often. Like, I don't know what it was like for you, but I remember I was so nervous. So nervous. And I kept thinking to myself, don't lock your knees. Don't lock your knees. Don't. Have you guys ever seen somebody faint at a wedding? My cousin did. We went all the way up to Wisconsin for my cousin's wedding. He locked his knees. I remember him talking about it. And he got up there, and like during the service, he just poof. And he's like, I don't know. He's well over 6 feet tall. And it, like, that's a long fall. Like, it took him a long time to hit the ground. And I was so scared. I was so nervous. And I was trying to move my legs so I didn't, you know, faint or anything stupid like that. But I'll never forget when the doors opened and I saw my bride. And these are the pictures that he gives. He is coming for his bride. And we don't know when it is, but friends, that just makes it all the more exciting. We anticipate. That's what our hope is, right? It's an anticipation. My Savior is coming to take me to himself, and I want to be found faithful when he comes. Are you ready? That's a real question, not rhetorical. Are you ready?
Yes.
But are we watching? Are we living like faithful and wise servants every day? Let's stand together. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to end this service with a song and an opportunity for you to respond. Maybe this morning you're not ready and you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You can repent and believe the gospel today. Jesus died for you and rose again, and he wants to save you. He wants to come and receive you to himself. So be ready by trusting in Jesus. But not only that, be faithful, be watching. Be wise and faithful. And if you have something in your life that's between you and God today, you can get rid of that this morning. The thing that is keeping you from being ready and watching and faithful, you can lay that aside today. He's ready. He stands ready to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Make sure your heart's right with Jesus today. You don't want him to come when you've got unconfessed and unrepented sin in your life. You want to be found pure and right. And that's not up to you in the sense that you got to make yourself perfect. It's up to you to come to him for cleansing. So don't hold on to unrepentant. Don't hold on to sin in your life. Let it go today so that when he comes, you'll be found faithful. If he's convicting you, come while we sing.